smugglers taking people across a border, not to enter the European Union, but to leave the European Union.
But it also needs to be clear that the European Union is offering something to help the UK.
So by showing that democracies can deal with this, it's a message that goes far beyond the channel.
Zwei plus zwei ist vier, der Europa-Podcast mit Gerald Knaus und Philipp Sandmann. Jetzt.
Welcome everyone to our next podcast edition. This is sort of a special podcast. This is not our seventh edition of our regular podcast. This is a special edition that we are recording on Sunday. Today is July 6th. And Gerald, we wanted to talk in English today, which is actually not what we're doing. Usually we talk in German, but there is a special reason why we wanted to record this podcast episode in English. What is the reason and why, Gerald, is it a pretty special week that is starting tomorrow?
Yes, well, great to be back talking to you, Philipp. It's been a while. We will explain next in our next German edition what we've been up to. But one issue that has kept my colleagues and myself at ESI very busy is coming to, hopefully, to an interesting inflection point next week. We've been working and we've been writing a lot and we had many meetings on one of the most unusual irregular migrations in Europe, which is smugglers taking people across a border, not to enter the European Union, but to leave the European Union from France to the United Kingdom, the so-called small boat crisis. And this really started in 2018. In 2019, there were 1,800 people in the whole year crossing from France to the UK. So you might say, what is this, 1,800 people? That's not a crisis. But it was already a political issue in the UK because it showed a loss of control at the border. The next year, it was 8,000. The next year, it was 28,000. Last year, it was 37,000 all year. And this year, in the first 6 months, it's a new record. It's already 20,000 in half a year. So 20,000 people with small boats reaching the United Kingdom from France. Why is this significant? Well, it shows a complete failure of policy. Lots of meetings, lots of agreements between France and the UK, meetings between the former Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and President Macron, talk about hundreds of millions of pounds or euros being spent by the UK, given to France to stop this. And it's not only not stopping, it's increasing. This is significant because it shows a failure of policy, but it also has very serious political consequences, potentially for the UK and for Europe. And I want to zoom in on this point because this is not an issue that only people concerned about migration should worry about. In the UK, there is a realistic chance for the first time in really living political memory that the next election might be won not by Labour, not by the Tories, the Conservative Party, but by a pro-Trump, fervently anti-European Nigel Farage and his Reform Party. Farage has been leading in a number of polls, and given the UK election system, it is possible that he might come first. Now, even the possibility at this moment, when Europe needs to be strong, when there are serious doubts about the American commitment to Ukraine, to NATO, the possibility of losing the UK to an anti-European government led by the guy who is most of all responsible for Brexit, seeing him come to power in London, this shouldn't even be an option. So the small boat crisis is a symbol of the failure of successive UK governments. But it's also, from the London point of view, a symbol of the failure of Europe to help the UK. Imagine, and now I come to why this week is important. Imagine if this week, when French President Emmanuel Macron goes on a state visit, first to Windsor Castle to see the king, he will be welcomed at the airport by the Prime Minister. It will be a visit from the 8th to the 10th of July, the first state visit since decades, since I think 2008. When he will speak to the Prime Minister, he will address Parliament, he will talk to the opposition. When during those 3 days, the message could be France and the UK and some other European countries can solve the small boat crisis, take away the number one issue for Nigel Farage, show the UK public that with Europe, problems are solvable, stop the deaths at sea, stop the smuggling business in the north of France, and do all of this in a win-win agreement that works for the next years and that is in line, and this is important, with the European Convention on Human Rights.
That's an important point. I mean, maybe let's take one step back, because I know that you have been, you know, writing and publishing basically what you are explaining right now, these papers regarding a potential deal between the European Union mainland and Great Britain when it comes to this so-called boat crisis. So what exactly would you say is important? Because obviously both sides sort of need to offer something that then in return can lead to a deal that leads to people understanding that the UK government is doing something against this crisis. But it also needs to be clear that the European Union is offering something to help the UK. So what exactly would you say is the most important point within that deal that must be made public for people to understand that something is actually changing?
Yes. The single most important point is to define a very clear goal and then look at the experience from the last 20 years, what is needed to reach that goal from the experience of what worked in other places. The goal should be very clear. The UK and France define a cutoff point, a date X, let's say 1st of August. And they say, or 15th of July. And they say, from the 15th of July, our goal is to bring irregular boat crossings down to zero. Not reduce it half, but to stop it. Mm-hmm. Now, the only way. And then now let's be realistic, let's say down to 3%. So if it's 1,000 crossing, you know, it should be then, you do the math, 30 in the whole month. Now, this was achieved in the Aegean when the EU-Turkey agreement was reached and the numbers were much higher. So it is realistic. How do you reach that? If France and the UK announce that from the 15th of July or from the 1st of August, everybody who arrives, who gets into a boat in France and who arrives in the UK will be detained. Under UK law, this is possible for a certain number of days. There will be an inadmissibility procedure to check if there's any reason not to send them to France, but there are no human rights reasons because France is a human rights abiding country of asylum and the rule of law. And if after this procedure, within 2 weeks, the UK says there's no problem to send that person back, France is ready to say everyone who crosses, we will take back. Now, this should bring crossings down to zero or 3%, 3 out of 1,000 or 30 out of 1,000, if it is believed. So everything must be done. And that was the key in the Aegean. Everything must be done that from the cutoff date, the message is believed. Everybody who's now crossing will be processed quickly, will be detained and can be returned. And the best way to do that is to make sure that this message, the first returns, happen fast.
Yeah. And now, obviously, just a quick follow-up question. So obviously then France says, we will be, you know, willing to implement this sort of this idea. But then, of course, the logical next question is, what does the UK do in return?
Yes. So if this is done, if France says we are ready, and if the number, and that's why I insist, this the more realistic plan is the more ambitious plan. If you want to reduce numbers by half, it's much harder, because then it won't really work. But if there are very few crossings, France needs to take back very few people. But people will stop crossing. Now, the obvious question is then, if France, and the goal is nobody crosses, the people are then in France, how does the UK help France? And the obvious answer is, the UK offers to take, in an organized way, refugees or asylum seekers who can apply in the way the UK is now bringing Ukrainians to the UK. They can apply in Europe, again, trying to find a very low bureaucracy, efficient and fast way to, of course, screen people, but no other criteria except, you know, basic screening. Who are they? What is their identity? Mm-hmm. And are they asylum seekers or refugees? But the UK then says, we will take from France every year, the next 4 years. Remember, we want zero crossings, but the UK will still, and this ensures a French interest for the next years, every year 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people. Now, if the UK takes from France every year 5,000 people the next 4 years, there is a legal way that now doesn't exist. France does not need to then police the way it is now spending its police force at the beaches. You will not have the beaches as a point where smugglers control the forests and where thousands of migrants are hiding, which is very, I mean, I've been there. It's a cat and mouse game between police and smugglers and migrants, which is very unpleasant also for the people who live in the north of France. And it's very unpleasant for the migrants. I mean, they're often treated very badly by smugglers. You create a legal way for France to actually the UK showing solidarity and taking refugees. Mm-hmm. Now, let me add one more point. In addition to taking 5,000 people from France, the UK could also offer to take another 5,000 refugees and asylum seekers from elsewhere in the European Union. So every year, the UK takes 10,000 people from the EU in an orderly, organized way.
Yeah, I mean that's an important point you make, because I mean, you know, one could, you know, criticize this sort of deal, saying, well, will people really understand that even if the UK manages to reduce crossings from France to the UK, they will still take refugees every year. And you know, people will argue, you know, the numbers of refugees have been rising in recent years, and why are we taking in people even in an orderly fashion? But obviously, there's an argument to be made that I think people are can be convinced that migration is good for a country if it happens in an orderly fashion, right? So basically what happens in this deal is that you change the migration from irregular to regular migration, basically.
Yes, and this should be a major interest for France and the UK and the European Union, you show that democracies through cooperation can destroy the business of smugglers and the deaths at sea. Yeah. Every week people are have to be rescued or die in the channel, right? So by showing that democracies can deal with this, it's a message that goes far beyond the channel. Yeah. Cooperation in the interest of both sides can work. And why is it important to also perhaps bring in the possibility of refugees or asylum seekers who are in Italy or in Greece or in Germany to apply, is that you don't want to create a pull effect that people who are now in Italy who want to go to the UK then go to France. So you say those who are now in France can apply, but some of them who want to really go to the UK, they don't even need to pay smugglers to cross all of Europe. They can go to the UK consulate in Rome or Athens. And there is a legal way. But the advantage of the UK is the UK in this way ensures an interest by the European Union. It can show that we have full control. It's not controlled by gangs or smugglers. It doesn't need to pay hundreds of millions to France, you know, it can, and then still gets, like last year, 37,000 people arrive, which was, this year it will be more. Yeah. But most importantly, and this is important for Keir Starmer, he can show that you can do this without violating the European Convention on Human Rights or the Refugee Convention. Everything that is proposed here is 100% compliance with human rights law, because France is obviously a human rights respecting democracy. And if this could be agreed, the message that by cooperation on the basis of the rule of law, irregular migration can be not just reduced, but stopped. And that resettlement in an orderly way is creates a win-win situation where both sides have an interest. That summit could be historic. I think it could be a turning point for Farage, because he has been arguing against Europe. Europeans don't help us. The European Convention on Human Rights is the problem. Human rights law needs to be ignored. And migration is an issue that neither the Tories nor the Labour government can handle. He would lose that issue. Now, one more point that is important. There have been, of course, talks in recent weeks too. And there is this idea that perhaps the UK and France should have a one-for-one exchange, that for every one that the UK sends back, it takes one person from France. Let me tell you why this is not a good idea. Because the goal should be that nobody crosses to the UK. Now, let's assume 30 cross each month. In a one-for-one, that means the UK only takes 30 from France, which means that what you say, this isn't about blocking all access. Well, this would block all access. And it would not create an interest on the side of the European Union and France to stick with it. Right? So what we've seen in the Turkey agreement, the one-for-one was really a stupid part of that agreement. The most important one that worked was that then the EU took more refugees from Turkey. And it did. So Turkey had some interest. And I think this is why setting a quota for legal, organized resettlement would be absolute key. And and even better if over the weekend or the next 2 days or the next 3 days, or perhaps even during the summit, President Macron and Keir Starmer call the current head of the EU, I mean the rotating EU presidency, which is the Prime Minister of Denmark, and ask if Denmark and a few other countries would be willing to participate.
Which actually they might. I mean, Denmark is an interesting case study in this topic as well.
Yes, well, Denmark is very interesting because, I mean, I've recently been to Denmark. I've seen their reception center. I've seen their returns agency. They have very low arrivals. They have capacity. They could easily say, we take also a few people, a few dozen people. But more importantly, what Denmark... And then say, and if they don't need protection, we can also return them. Denmark has a very high return rate because there are very few people. They can concentrate on them. But Denmark also, I mean, politically, in terms of its strategy, believes in such agreements. It talked about safe third country agreements. Now here, Denmark or France or Germany or, Sweden would be the safe third country. And the beauty of this is that since the European Union in the future wants to also negotiate safe third country agreements with other countries to stop irregular migration to the EU, what better way than to prove in the channel that this is truly in the interests of both sides?
Interesting week ahead. So maybe final question. Would you say that this is somewhat of a unique opportunity? I mean, you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that it is the first state visit in decades. I think first one since 2008. It obviously has some sort of meaning, you know. What's the unique opportunity here? And do you see a realistic chance that after this week, something along those lines, something that you have been proposing for, you know, the past couple of months already, something along those lines could be implemented? Or on the other hand, do you see a danger that they might make that classic mistake and go for a one-for-one deal instead, which then would be far less efficient?
Yeah, or no deal, because some European countries might misunderstand that this is in the interest of everyone in Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been rumbling by Italy and others that have said, wait, what if those that are returned from Britain to France might then be under Dublin sent to Italy? To which I only have to say, France can easily say, well, listen, we just don't send them. Or Italy at the moment is not taking anyone from Germany anyways. But the more important point is that if it stops, if the crossings stop, there isn't anything, any problem here. And if some refugees from Italy could also go directly to the UK, Italy benefits as well. No, but why is this important? Because they will discuss big issues. They will discuss military cooperation. They will discuss the future of NATO. They will discuss the future of the global trade system. They will, of course, discuss what Donald Trump and the erratic and often hostile policy in Washington means for big Western European democracies. But the elephant in the room, as they discuss this, is in France, the very strong position of the far right, and in Britain, the very big concern about a reform and Nigel Farage. And in both cases, the sense of not being able to manage migration except by abandoning human rights, except by brutality, which neither Macron nor Keir Starmer are willing or capable of doing because they believe in the rule of law and in the European Convention on Human Rights. The far right is saying, people care about migration. You cannot solve it without breaking human rights. Well, let's break human rights. Let's do like Trump. So the message from such a summit, where all these other important issues of security and economy will be discussed, is that let's discuss security and the economy, but first let's address one issue in a European human rights compatible way that drives voters to the far right. Because if there is a Farage government in the UK, just as after nobody thought it was possible, Farage managed to get a Brexit done or pushed for a Brexit. If that happens, it will be an unforgivable historic mistake that the Europeans were watching as smugglers operate on the EU's coast. And then the result has been losing a precious and incredibly important ally.
As we have experienced before, 9 years ago, and that was one of the toughest moments for the European Union when the UK voted to leave the EU. So, which, by the way, was also very much connected to the topic of migration. So it is a very valid point in an historic week. Thank you, Gerald. That was very interesting. I look forward to our next episode, which will be in German again. But today we thought it might be good to talk in English, as we will do a couple of times in the future as well. We wanted to record some podcasts in English for our English-speaking audience. So this is sort of the kickoff to that idea. So Gerald, I hope you have an interesting week starting tomorrow on Monday. Let's see where the state visit goes between France and the UK and what deals will be made, if any, and what things we might be able to discuss after that week. Thank you, Gerald. Have a nice rest of your Sunday.
All the best. Take care, Philip. Best wishes from Berlin.
Thank you.